Hi, this is Angelica.
Margo.
And welcome to Neuroscience News.
Science is typically seen as presenting this objective truth. As a society, we're taught to hold scientific research up to the highest of standards.
Despite this, many continue to distrust scientific knowledge, especially recently due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Building trust in science relies not only on understanding how the scientific method succeeds in describing the world around us, but also how it fails.
Today, we'd like to discuss a recent discovery of scientific fraud in Alzheimer's disease research. First, though, let's provide some context.
Alzheimer's disease and dementia is anything but a lighthearted topic.
Nearly everyone knows someone with dementia or Alzheimer's, whether that person be a family member, friend, or public figure. Unfortunately, dementia is a reality everyone must grapple with at some point in their lives.
According to the Alzheimer's Association, 1 in 3 seniors die of Alzheimer's or other dementias, with a number of Americans diagnosed with Alzheimer's projected to reach 13 million by the year 2050. Caregiving for dementia and Alzheimer's is one of the most difficult unpaid jobs, with more than 11 million Americans providing unpaid care. The impact that Alzheimer's disease and dementia has on those who are diagnosed with it and their caregivers is unimaginable, making this research key to saving millions of more lives and livelihoods. Now, to really emphasize the human aspect of this, we'd like to show you some clips.
Our first clip is about the toll of Alzheimer's disease on caregivers.
Today, at age 73, he's still working. As Carol declines, he continues as her primary caregiver, but now has some help during the day.
If you did want to retire, could you swing it financially?
No. I had to dedicate my whole life to taking care of Carol because I couldn't afford to pay home care.
Almost half of caregivers were forced to cut back on their own expenses. For Mike, that means working and saving so Carol can stay in their home.
What's the alternative to home care, to having somebody come in here?
Nursing home.
You hate that idea.
Oh.
Why?
I have an obligation to her, the love I have for her. I can't see, I can't abandon her.
Our second clip is an interview with a man living with early onset Alzheimer's. In it, he talks about the impact the diagnosis has had and what it's like to live with Alzheimer's disease.
The diagnosis was caught early enough, they could prepare for what was to come. But just knowing eventually everything would be lost to the fog is tough to take.
The part that gets me is I know eventually I'm not going to remember them. And that's the part that kills me. That's the hardest.
Thanks to an influx of research within the last 30 to 40 years, there are numerous ways to identify Alzheimer's disease and dementia. Clinicians typically diagnose Alzheimer's and dementia through changes in behavior or through biological changes in the brain.
Typical behavioral symptoms of dementia, which are also used as markers, are experiencing memory loss, poor judgment, and confusion, difficulty speaking, understanding and expressing thoughts, or reading and writing, wandering and getting lost in a familiar neighborhood, trouble handling money responsibly and paying bills, repeating questions, using unusual words to refer to familiar objects, taking longer to complete normal daily tasks.
Some markers for Alzheimer's and dementia are also found in our DNA, or the instructions for building and maintaining our bodies. Certain alterations or deviations in our genetic code may lead to biological changes in the brain. One major change is the buildup of plaques, called beta amyloids, on the outside of brain cells and damaging proteins, called tau, inside brain cells.
This buildup of beta amyloid and tau eventually lead to brain cell death, particularly in the parts of the brain responsible for memory, also known as the entorhinal cortex and the hippocampus. These biological markers of Alzheimer's and dementia are easy to spot by clinicians, making them one of the major criteria for diagnosis.
Many of the biological markers of Alzheimer's and dementia act as starting points for research. Buildup of harmful plaques and proteins, many think, could be the cause of the behavioral symptoms and markers of the disease, particularly memory loss.
This brings us to the main topic of today's show, Fraud Within Alzheimer's Disease Research.
Live in an era of fraud in America, not just in banking, but in government, education, religion, food, even baseball. What bothers me isn't that fraud is not nice or that fraud is mean. It's that for 15,000 years, fraud and short-sighted thinking have never, ever worked.
The suggested fraud centers around a single paper, titled A Specific Amyloid Beta Protein Assembly in the Brain Impairs Memory. The research, conducted by Sylvain Lesnay and his colleagues at the University of Minnesota, aimed to isolate the cause of memory loss associated with Alzheimer's disease and dementia. Based on the known biological markers at the time, the researchers decided to focus their investigation on amyloid beta.
In order to understand how memory loss occurs, the researchers isolated a gene responsible for creating amyloid beta plaques in humans, as well as other characteristic changes in the brain, such as inflammation.
Researchers then inserted the isolated gene into the DNA of rats. These rats, now called transgenic organisms, produced human amyloid beta plaques in their rodent brains.
Wait, so it's kind of like Spider-Man?
I'm something of a scientist myself.
Exactly. Just like Spider-Man is a human with spider-like qualities, these transgenic rats are rats, but with a specific human quality, in this case, the production of amyloid beta plaques.
Researchers observed that memory loss in these transgenic rats began at 6 months of age, yet stabilized during middle age. The amyloid beta plaques that cause memory loss, the researchers proposed, should therefore increase at 6 months and remain stable between 6 to 14 months.
Through various protein isolation techniques, researchers identified a type of plaque that appeared to match this trend, which they coined amyloid beta star 56.
The next question was, does amyloid beta star 56 directly cause memory loss? To answer this final question, researchers injected purified amyloid beta star 56 directly into the brains of healthy young rats. The rats were then put through a maze, with rats receiving amyloid beta star 56 unable to find the end of the maze.
Rats given amyloid beta star 56 showed a significant loss of spatial memory, one of the key signs of dementia. Spatial memory is largely controlled in the hippocampus, an area of the brain with high rates of cell death due to Alzheimer's and dementia.
From this data, the researchers concluded that amyloid beta star 56 directly caused memory loss. Over the years, Lesnay and his team continued to isolate plaques similar to amyloid beta star 56. His research spread throughout the scientific community, being cited by other researchers thousands of times.
Importantly, Lesnay's research has been cited by various drug companies and researchers. The manufacturers of these Alzheimer's therapies claim their drugs remove amyloid beta plaques, slowing the progression of the disease. Almost none of these drugs, though, have been approved by the FDA, as their side effects often outweigh the supposed benefits.
Investigators began examining Lesnay's research after some neuroscientists called the efficacy of the new drug, simufilam, which cited the original 2006 paper, into question. Attorneys called on Matthew Schrag, a neuroscientist and physician at Vanderbilt University, along with a slew of other researchers and image analysts, to determine if the monumental findings proposed by Lesnay were fabricated.
After conducting numerous analyses, investigators found evidence of more than 70 altered and/or fabricated images presenting supposedly key data.
According to Science Magazine, these findings have led some Alzheimer's experts to now suspect Lesnay's studies have misdirected Alzheimer's research for 16 years.
Since the publishing of the infamous 2006 paper, annual NIH support for studies labeled amyloid, oligomer, and Alzheimer's has risen from near zero to $287 million in 2021, science estimates.
Research surrounding amyloid beta plaques has dominated Alzheimer's research, preventing funding from reaching other initiatives focusing on the plethora of other possible causes of cognitive decline.
So, where do we go now? Is there hope beyond amyloid beta?
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Luckily, researchers who study Alzheimer's approach the disease from many different angles, since there are both psychological and physiological markers of neurodegeneration.
Let's dive into some of these alternative pathologies. We've talked about amyloid beta and its role in memory consolidation, but on the cellular level, what types of changes in metabolism are driving these impairments in memory?
A 2005 study looking at the relationship between glutamate, an excitatory chemical used by neurons to signal to one another, and disintegration of neuronal tissue in postmortem Alzheimer's brains, found an increased number of glutamate metabolizing enzymes in the prefrontal cortex.
That's a lot of technical jargon.
Wait.
In other words, the researchers found an overabundance of proteins that are supposed to regulate neuron functioning, indicating that neurodegeneration may actually be the result of disruptions in metabolic activity in people with Alzheimer's.
So that's an explanation that talks about the neurochemistry of Alzheimer's. How about we move on to some of the more cognitive aspects of the disease?
Good idea! Research on cognitive fluctuations, a key diagnostic feature of Lewy body dementia, marked by visual hallucinations, is fascinating mainly because, up until recently, it was really difficult to characterize, at least scientifically, and thus has been difficult to study.
Now, however, thanks to innovations in technology such as MRI, among other techniques, researchers are able to look at some of these more complex symptoms from a neurobiological standpoint.
A study published earlier this year actually looked at changes in what researchers in the field term network connectivity, or brain functioning in patients with Lewy body dementia. Using fMRI, an imaging technique that identifies regions of brain activity using changes in blood flow, they found reduced connectivity in specific brain regions while participants underwent an attentional task, which is to make sure that their brains were still alert and focused.
Next, they correlated these findings with known expression patterns of genes involved in neurotransmission and found high levels of expression in previously identified regions. How cool is that?
Super cool. Again, it's a bit jargony, but here we have another explanation for dementia pathology that hopefully will give us more insight into some of the more complex characteristics of neurodegenerative diseases.
Research continues to identify new pathologies in some interesting places, such as our blood and even our eyes.
So what now? What do we do with all of this valid and non-falsified research? The future of dementia research lies not only in the identification of one biomarker, such as amyloid beta, but rather a set or cluster of markers unique to the individual diagnosed.
To stay up to date with the latest developments in Alzheimer's research, make sure to subscribe and tune in next week.
Once again, this has been Neuroscience News! Bye.
I thought we were better than this. I really did. And the fact that we're not doesn't make me feel all right and superior. It makes me feel sad. And as fun as it is to watch pompous, dumb Wall Streeters be wildly wrong, and you are wrong, sir, I just know that at the end of the day, average people are going to be the ones that are going to have to pay for all of this. Because they always, 32. Always.